Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
The athlete gets ready for the competition. The student gets ready for the exam. The farmer gets ready for the harvest. The bride gets ready for her bridegroom. Why are you not ready to meet Jesus Christ? Not to be ready, Jesus is saying, is utter foolishness.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ will return to this earth like a thief in the night, suddenly and without warning. So the question is, are you ready? Today on The Verdict, we're exploring a unique parable from the book of Matthew about being prepared for the return of Christ. To get us started, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's message titled, The Bridegroom Comes.
We're studying what has been called the Olivet Discourse, which is the teaching of the Lord Jesus to his disciples about future events and his return in power and glory. Yes, our Lord Jesus is coming back, and we need to be vigilant and ready. We don't know when the Lord is returning, although that hasn't stopped many people over the centuries trying to predict the date. But don't be misled by such false prophets. Today in Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable about his return. It's a fascinating one involving 10 bridesmaids. We will see that there are different responses to the reality of the return of Jesus. Some are ready, others are not. This parable is a reminder of the reality of his return. The bridegroom is coming.
Peter writes that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since their fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." He goes on to explain, "With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." And then he says, I'm reading from 2 Peter 3, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." And he explains one of the reasons why the Lord has not yet come. You say, why doesn't Jesus return now? Here's the biblical answer: that God is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. We often think, why doesn't Jesus come now? Take us all to heaven. Here's the reason: he's patient. He doesn't wish anyone to perish. God's desire is that all should reach repentance. Now, you may ignore the return of Jesus Christ. You may deny it. You may mock it. You may be totally indifferent to it. But nothing will stop his return. Jesus says, and we read it from John 14, "I will come again." And to help us consider how we should be ready for his return, Jesus gives us a story, a parable, and I invite you to turn in your Bibles to it, to Matthew 25, and we're going to read the first 13 verses. We're going through the Gospel of Matthew, and today we come to chapter 25. Matthew 25, verse 1, notice how Jesus begins. He is speaking. He says that the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Here's the conclusion, verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Notice verse 1, the kingdom of God will be like, referring to the future, a simple story, a powerful story about the kingdom of heaven. What is our response to the reality that Jesus Christ is returning? Jesus helps us with this story. It's an illustration of the kingdom of heaven. With the coming of King Jesus to the earth, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, in one sense has come. It's come in the sense that Jesus has come. But in another sense, the kingdom of heaven has not yet come. That is, the kingdom of God has come with the coming of Jesus in his first coming, but it has not yet come with power and great glory, as we saw last week. The theologians call that already, not yet. It has come in one sense, but it hasn't come in another sense. It's come with King Jesus in his humiliation at his first coming, but he's coming again, and when he comes, it will come with great power and glory. The kingdom of heaven. If you remember, as we began some time ago now, our study of Matthew, there was this remarkable man come. His name is John the Baptist. And he comes and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did he mean? He meant that the king was about to come. And when Jesus began to preach, Matthew tells us in chapter 4, verse 17, this is what he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king has come. And you see the majesty of the kingdom in healing and walking on water and healing the sick and raising the dead. The kingdom of God now has come to earth in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as he comes, he calls on us voluntarily to repent. That is, to turn from our sins and to believe in the gospel, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we saw, and as we know today, some repent and some don't. Some go their own way. Others of us voluntarily bow at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as our Savior and our Lord. But when Christ returns with power and great glory, his kingdom will be instituted then with a rod of iron. Then every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And to help us to be ready, Jesus tells us this story. It's a story about the kingdom of heaven. Did you notice? Perhaps you thought it was rather harsh. Did you notice that the foolish virgins were shut out of the kingdom of heaven, shut out of the marriage feast? Now let's look at the details of the parable so that we can learn. Jesus tells us there were these 10 virgins. In that culture, only unmarried women acted as bridesmaids. So I will refer to them as the 10 bridesmaids. They are young women, they are unmarried women. There's 10 of them. They had much in common. They were all bridesmaids. They all had lamps. They all were invited to the marriage feast. They all become drowsy and sleep because the bridegroom, for some reason, delayed in coming. But as you heard the story, there was a basic difference, a difference which externally was not apparent. If you looked at the 10 bridesmaids, they all looked pretty much the same. In our culture, bridesmaids generally are all dressed the same. So externally, and as you speak to them, they all seem the same. Yes, but there was a fundamental difference. Five were wise and five were foolish. Now, it appears in that culture that, as in some cultures today, the parents arranged for their son or their daughter's marriage, who they should marry. Stage one, they decide who they're going to marry. Stage two, there is a wedding ceremony where the couple exchange vows. It's called the betrothal. After that, the couple don't stay together. The marriage is not consummated. And after some time, perhaps as much as 12 months, the bridegroom then, and everything is ready, the home, everything is ready, the bridegroom then goes to the bride's home and brings her to his own. Now, that's very different from our culture, but perhaps in other cultures today, it's something similar. So there is this delay. The bridesmaids are all ready. And as the bridegroom claims his bride, and as he takes her to his own home, there's a procession. This all happens in the evening when it's dark. And so they need lamps, more like a torch, in order to celebrate this great occasion when the bridegroom is taking his bride. He's going to take to his own home. There's going to be a tremendous feast. There's going to be a tremendous celebration. And then the marriage will be consummated. So these 10 bridesmaids, they all had their lamps, perhaps a kind of torch which was dipped in the oil and then set alight. And for some reason, it's not given in the story, there's a delay in the bridegroom, perhaps illustrating the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has not yet come. We're waiting his coming. The bridegroom comes, and there's a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. This takes place at midnight. Strange in our culture, isn't it? But there it is. And everyone's asleep. The foolish bridesmaids and the wise. It's midnight. Of course they're sleeping. When the cry comes, the bridesmaids get up to prepare their lamps. And it's discovered then that five of the bridesmaids didn't have enough oil. You think that's part of their job. I remember when I was officiating at a marriage, it was outside. It comes to the point for the exchange of the rings. And I'm told before, the bridesmaid's got one ring and the best man's got another. I'm standing there, I say to the bridesmaid, please may I have the ring? And she looks at me and she says, I forgot it. I feel like saying to her, it's your one task. I mean, that's what you're there, not to look beautiful, and you're not that beautiful anyhow, but sorry. But, I mean, however you're looking, give me the ring. You've forgotten the thing. Foolish, isn't it? That's a foolish bridesmaid. You're given the task. You're there to bear the torch. You're there to set it alight. And when the bridegroom comes, it's discovered you don't have enough oil. Now, the wise bridesmaid had looked ahead. They'd anticipated the situation. They had brought extra oil. And the foolish bridesmaids say to the wise bridesmaid, well, give us some of your oil. And the wise bridesmaids wisely say, no. There's not enough oil for all 10 of us. It wasn't that the wise bridesmaids were unkind. They realized there wasn't enough for all of them. They needed to keep their lamps burning for the whole journey. The foolish bridesmaids then run off in the middle of the night to try and buy oil. That must have been difficult at night. And as they're away, the bridegroom comes. The five wise bridesmaids enter into the marriage feast. Notice again, verse 10, and the door was shut. When the five foolish bridesmaids finally arrive for the marriage feast, they're not admitted. That's the story. Different culture, I understand. Don't focus on that. Five wise, five foolish. Jesus says, again, verse 1, the kingdom of God will be like that. Let's think of the meaning and the applications. I have three. At the return of Jesus, first of all, there is personal accountability. I emphasize the word personal. These 10 bridesmaids had much in common, but each one of them was personally accountable to make sure they had enough oil. That was their personal responsibility. The oil was not transferable from one bridesmaid to another. Each bridesmaid was personally accountable. Oh, that's very, very important as we think of the kingdom of heaven. Paul tells us, Romans 14, verse 12, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. One day, you and I, each one of us, will personally stand before God. Each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. That's sobering, isn't it? No, you can't hide behind your dad. You can't hide behind your wife or your grandmother or your best friend or the youth pastor or anyone else. No, you personally will give an account of yourself to God. As I talk to people about their faith, I hear all kinds of answers. A lot of us describe our religious heritage. We start telling about the home we were brought up, the church we were brought up into, and that's important. I have a good Christian heritage, which I'm proud of, which I'm very thankful for. People talk about their family, their church, their denomination, their background, their baptism, and so on. But this parable, this teaching of Jesus, very serious teaching of Jesus, reminds us that each one of us is accountable to God. Outwardly, we all may look the same. We attend church. We are similar. We sing the same hymns. We meet together. We socialize. There's the 10 bridesmaids. They all look great. But there's this fundamental difference. See, Scripture emphasizes personal accountability. If you remember the teaching of Jesus in Matthew, Jesus, at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, tells a parable which in many ways is similar to this. He's concluding his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. This teaching is what's called the Olivet teaching, Olivet discourse, because he's given it on the Mount Olive, Mount of Olives. But as he concludes the Sermon on the Mount, do you remember at the end of Matthew 7, Jesus tells a story, a parable. He says there's two men who build a home. They build their home. I can picture their home right next to each other, looking just the same. Possibly one home goes up a bit quicker than the other. And so they move into their homes and all seems well. Neighbors drive by, as curious neighbors and people do. What kind of home are you living in? They're driving by and they see these two beautiful homes. Ah, but then the storm comes, Jesus says. It's a great storm. And there's one house that stands firm and the other falls. And Jesus says, great was the fall of it. What was the difference? Jesus says, the wise man builds his house on the rock. What about the foolish man? It's built on sand. Very quickly, outwardly impressive, but no foundation. This foolish man is a hollow man. He's a very foolish man. You say, what's the point of the story? Jesus makes it very clear. He says, the foolish man and the wise man, they both hear the same teaching of Jesus. They're sitting in the same pew. They attend the same church. They sing the same hymns. Their children are in the same grade at the Sunday school. But, says Jesus, while both hear, it's only the wise man that obeys. That's serious, isn't it? Should we hear the teaching of the Word of God? Absolutely. But the difference between the wise and the foolish is that the wise responds, obeys. And there's a time of personal accountability which will demonstrate whether or not you're wise or foolish. The foolish bridesmaids are unable to light their lamps. They forgot the oil. They were told about it. They knew about it. They delayed. They were arrogant. They were lazy. Whatever reason, they didn't bring their oil. And the return of Jesus will expose all hypocrisy. It will expose all phoniness. It will oppose those who say they're followers of Jesus, but there's been no difference in their lives. Things are not different in their life. They live as they always lived. But give mere lip service to Christ. What about you? When asked about your faith, you can talk about your parents, your beliefs, your church, your upbringing, your baptism. All of that is good. But the parable is reminding us of the solid truth. Before God, there is personal accountability. And the coming of the bridegroom reveals spiritual reality. No, you cannot hide behind someone else. Men, you cannot borrow the faith of your wife. Children, you cannot borrow the faith of your parents. When Jesus returns, there's personal accountability. Secondly, at the return of Jesus, there is personal preparation. Clearly, the obvious point of the parable is, when the bridegroom comes, be ready. The point of the parable is this: I am returning, says Jesus, and if you want to be in the kingdom of heaven, you must be ready. See, to be prepared is a demonstration of your faith.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, The Bridegroom Comes. John will be back with more to share in just a moment, so stay with us. And as a thank you to our listeners, we'd like to send you a special resource that will help you clarify and deepen your understanding of what it means to follow Jesus on a daily basis. It's a booklet by John called Life in the Kingdom, and it focuses on the very practical instruction that Jesus gave his followers about how we are meant to live. So if you'd like to grow in your relationship with God and live each day as an authentic follower of Christ, reach out today and request or download your free copy of Life in the Kingdom at theverdict.org. And while you're on our website, you'll have the opportunity to play a part in what God is doing through The Verdict with a simple one-time donation of any amount. Your support will help us share God's word with new listeners in your community and across the world. So if reaching others with the gospel is something you're passionate about, consider giving a special gift to support this ministry today. You can easily give whatever amount you feel led to by visiting theverdict.org. And if you haven't already, we also encourage you to go subscribe to The Verdict podcast, now featuring John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum. You can subscribe on your favorite podcast app or through our website. Again, that's theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus? Are you wise or are you foolish? These are penetrating questions, and Jesus had a reason for telling this parable. He is teaching not only his disciples, but you and me. How important it is that we're ready by putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Keep looking up. He's coming back. This will transform how we live and will set the priorities of our lives. Next time, we'll continue looking at this intriguing parable.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.